Hello Through the Word, Psalm 115 today, where the psalmist delivers a little smack talk for idol worshippers. It's an intriguing one, and rather different. We're still in the heart of the Hallel, or praise psalms, but remember that these are sung at Passover, as the Jews recount the story of deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And at the heart of that story is a face-off between the God of Israel and the many gods of Egypt, and that's exactly what you get here. A face-off, a royal rumble of our God versus yours. I've been sharing what music each psalm reminds me of. My study playlist this time was Cross Movement. So good. Funny though, the first thing I thought of here was a history class assignment that my daughter had in which each student was given a U.S. president. Then each president argued head-to-head to find the best president. My daughter was FDR, and she won 5 rounds of battle. Monroe, Grant, even beat Lincoln for the title. Her tactic? Rap battle. Presidential smack talk. And that's kind of what we have in Psalm 115, only it's not presidents, but gods. We enter the ring at verse 1. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. This is basically the dedication before the bell rings. Not for us. We battle for you, Lord. You take the glory. Verse 2. Why do the nations say, where is their God? This verse sets the stage. The outsiders, the non-believers, have challenged the Israelites. They have said, where is your God? In Bible times, that was relevant. We can see our gods, statues, carvings. Where is yours? No carvings, no sign of him anywhere. Now, to understand this psalm, see it in modern context. The world still challenges us. Where is your God? Be it atheist or mocker or just the doubts in your head. That's the context. For Israel, the Passover story reminded them every year that God was ready to answer that challenge. Each plague took on a specific Egyptian idol. Back at the Last Supper, you can't help but marvel at the irony of Jesus reading their question. Where is their God? Verse 3 is the answer. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Now there we have an essential feature of God's nature. He does what he pleases. Why? Because he is not an idol. He's not man-made. The true God operates entirely under his own volition, not our control. Now, doing whatever you please is dangerous for us, but the Lord only finds pleasure in good. Now watch verse 4. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, feet, but cannot walk. The smackdown begins. You're so proud of your little idol, you gave it a mouth, eyes, ears, but they don't do anything. Now that was then. For us, ancient idol worship is easy to mock. But here's the real challenge. What do idols look like today? It's no longer carvings and mythologies, but it's still here. So how do you identify it? Basically, an idol is anything that replaces God in your life. And the keys to seeing them are right here in Psalm 115. Verse 4 is the start. Idols are made by human hands. The first mark of an idol is man-made. That's where it starts. In the middle part, verses 5 to 7 tell us that idols don't truly have senses, can't see, hear, smell, or feel. And they don't truly have self-will, can't speak, walk, or utter sound. Idols don't act unless we tell a story of them acting. We control. Convenient if you don't want your God to judge you. But watch where it ends. The psalmist concludes the section in verse 8. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. The two key ends of idolatry are simple. We trust them and we become like them. Idols overtake our faith and our identity formation. Keep in mind, most idols begin as good things on their own, things created by God. At the start, we form it. In the middle, it has no real power to feel or sense or act. But once you cross that threshold from I form it to it forms me, once you put your trust in it, now it has replaced God. Now you have an idol. So how do we identify idols? Watch those markers. It usually begins with something good that God made. Looking at the idols of ancient times, they had a god of pleasure, a god of medicine. In Rome, the emperor was a god, just as we turned politics into a god. Mammon was god of money. Money is not inherently evil, but Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. It's not just what you use, but what you trust and serve. Addiction is a clear sign to watch for. When use becomes need, that's likely an idol. Alcohol, sex, power, success, all fine when God is in control. But all idols when you lose control, and this thing that has no senses or will controls you. Interesting, when I asked my friends about modern idols, one of the first responses was cell phones and social media. Now be careful, it's dangerous to write something off simply because it can be an idol. But the question remains, can social media be an idol? Can your cell phone become a temple for many idols? Let's consider. The offer of social media is immediate connection with the world. Interact, be you, laugh with them. Brilliant. But then you realize you can craft the you that you present. Be the best you, best angle, best lighting, best stories, best body. Man-made. Seems harmless enough, and to an extent it probably is. Until, at some point, crafting your image devolves from artistic expression to fanatic obsession. You wear brands, chase trends, strive for influence. But what are those? They can't speak or hear or feel or walk. So how do they wind up controlling me? Why do I value it so much, almost trust it? How did I become a brand? How did it become my identity? That's idolatry. Can self be an idol? Not your real self. But when you craft an image of yourself for the world to admire, and eventually you conform yourself to that image, that's an idol. Now please, don't let me be the old man ranting against modern things. Social media can be useful, just like money. Socials might be an opportunity to influence the world for God. Just be careful. Remember Gandalf's words to Frodo. I would use the ring from a desire to do good, but through me it would wield a power too terrible to imagine. That's how idols work. They tempt you with good, then through you do bad. Christian celebrity comes with all the dangers of normal celebrity, and influence very easily becomes idol. Remember verse 1. Not to us, Lord, but to your name be the glory. As for your cell phone, here's a good test. Give it up. Walk away for a time. If you can't let go, if Gandalf has to say, Bilbo, the ring is still in your pocket, it's time to set boundaries now. And yes, if you're wondering, the rings of power are a fantastic picture of idols. Man-crafted, demon-powered. You form it, but it conforms you until it becomes your identity. Gollum. That's an idol. Next, the psalmist turns away from the idolater and to the believer. And watch the repetitions. Verse 9. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Then to the priests, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Again, to all believers, trust in the Lord. That's the key. You know your true God by what you trust. When the quake hits your life, what do you hold? Where is your trust? Verse 12, the Lord remembers us and will bless us. Watch the repetition again. First, it's trust in, trust in, trust in. Then, he will bless, he will bless, he will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. He's calling the believers to let go of the idols and grab firm hold of God. Trust him to bless you. Then he pronounces blessing. Verse 14, may the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's the key. Only he is maker. So let him bless you and form you into the image you were made for, his. And the psalm ends with hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.